Hello, praise the Lord. Welcome to our free Reaching for the Hem teleclass. I am so excited that you've decided to come and join us as we all reach out to God and learn more about Him. And this class, we are actually going to be talking about how to hear God's voice. You know, that's something that the more polls I do and the more I ask people what they want to learn more about, this is an issue that tends to come up over and over and over again, and that's how do we hear God's voice? How do we know what He is speaking into our lives, and how do we know His plan for our life? And so this is really an issue that is so critical. It's so critical in our lives as Christians. And, you know, unfortunately, it's something that isn't really talked about that much in most churches for some reason. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it is important for us as believers and as followers of Christ to realize that this is one of the most important parts of our relationship with God. And the reason that it's so vital is because if we can't hear Him, if we can't hear His guidance, if we don't know what He wants us to do on a daily basis, then how are we supposed to fulfill our callings? How are we supposed to walk into the destinies that He's designed for us? You know, He has a plan for you. No matter what your life has been like up until this moment, no matter what experiences you've had, no matter how tragic different things have seemed in your life, God has a plan to turn all of that pain that you've experienced, to turn all of the different things that have happened in your life around. And He has a plan to use you to bring Him glory, to use you to be a blessing to His people and to uplift you. And you know, regardless of if you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're a doctor or if you're a garbage collector or whatever you are, God still has a plan for you. And I think sometimes we can forget that. We can forget that God has a specific destiny, and that just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're going to live out that destiny. And, you know, that's something that, you know, in the world, when people think about destiny, they talk about it as if it's something that is indisputable, that you can't change. But when we really understand truth, we realize that that's just a smokescreen. Because your destiny, God has a plan, but that doesn't mean that your life is going to live out that plan. I mean, when we look at people living every single day of their lives, we look at people who are, you know, maybe they're, you know, robbing banks or whatever they're doing, you know, that's an obvious sign that they're not living out their destiny. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have a destiny for them, but they're not living out that destiny. And even us as Christians, many times we're not living out our destiny. You know, if all Christians were living out their destinies in Christ, there would be less people in the world hurting, because there would be more people ministering to those hurts. You know, there would be less people in the world hungry, because there will be more of us that are feeding the hungry, that we're healing the sick, that we're ministering to people's needs. And so it's very clear that all of God's will isn't necessarily being done in the church, and it's not necessarily being done in the world, even through us as His children. And so those are just some of the reasons that it's so key that we learn how to hear God's voice. You know, before we go too much further, let's just go ahead and stop and just approach the throne of the Lord in prayer with me, if you will. Lord, we love You. We love You, and we are all gathered here in this virtual classroom. We thank You, Lord, for technology, and we worship You and praise You for our ability to gather here. You know, we're all coming from different parts of the world, not even just different parts of one country, Lord, but different parts of the world, all coming, joining here, to learn how to know You more, to learn how to connect with You more, to learn how to reach out to You. And Lord, we thank You for Your provision. We recognize that being able to hear Your voice is a part of Your provision for us. We're not worthy in and of ourselves to even hear the voice of God. But it is not our worthiness that we must stand upon, but it is the worthiness of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for Your sacrifice, that we may be brought back into an intimate relationship with God. We thank You for Your sacrifice. You knew what your destiny held, and yet You didn't try to hide from it, but You walked into that painful destiny, knowing that all of our lives would be changed, and that we would have an opportunity to know God intimately. And so we worship you today, and we worship you, Holy Spirit. We invite you in to speak to each of us as individuals, and we ask that you will help us to recognize your voice, because you said that your sheep, Lord, hear and understand what you speak to them. And so, Lord, we ask for that promise to be manifested in our lives on a daily basis, that we will know you more, that we will connect with you on a deeper level, that we will be able to walk out our destinies in you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, he is worthy today. He is so worthy. He's worthy today and every day. And I just want to just take a quick second just for some housekeeping things. If you have not printed off your note sheet for today, for our class for this evening, go ahead and click on that link. If you're at the webcast page, there's actually a link there that says you can print out your note sheet, and it'll actually open another window so you don't have to worry about, be concerned about it taking away the class. It'll just open up a separate window, and you can go ahead and print that out even as we're going along. If you don't have a printer, then just go ahead and grab a sheet of paper and jot down some notes, because it's so key that we write down the things that we hear, even if it's not something that I say, but maybe God, you know, uses something that I say to spark another thought that you have. Go ahead and write that thing down, because sometimes, you know, as we're going throughout our daily lives, we forget those little nuggets that God imparts to us, just those little golden nuggets that he gives us about walking closer to him and getting to know him more deeply. So I really want to encourage you to take some notes. You know, that's the teacher in me. That's my background as being a teacher, so I always have to remind people to take notes. Also, if for some reason you have to leave and you're not able to join in on the entire class, you can always get a copy of the classes at archives.schoolofthespirit.org. That's archives, A-R-C-H-I-V-E-S, .schoolofthespirit.org. And the replays are $5. And I just want to mention that just in case for some reason you have to leave before the end of the class and you wanted to get the entire class, you wanted to hear what you missed. But, of course, if you are a student in the School of the Spirit, all of the replays are always in the School of the Spirit within a week of when the class aired. I usually put them up the same time I put the option to buy the class up. So if you're a student in the School of the Spirit, of course, that will be available to you sometime early next week. So if it were me, this is kind of a little aside here, but if it were me and I had to choose between the $5 for the replay or the $1 trial for the School of the Spirit and I was going to be able to get the replay anyways, I'd probably choose the $1 trial just because, for one, I try to be a good steward of my money, but at the same time, you're also going to be able to try out all of the, to actually go into and use all the classes in the School of the Spirit as well. So that's kind of a little bit of a better investment, but that's just a side note. But as we were talking about, you know, beginning of the class, hearing God's voice is such an important part of our daily lives. You know, I'll just give you a little bit of my own testimony and how that has impacted me. And, you know, I wasn't even thinking about telling this story until maybe 5 minutes before the class started, and God just kind of spoke to me and said, hey, you should share this story because it is something that is very important. I'm sorry, I'm reading one of the questions. Marcel, I will definitely help you with that once we, after we get through a little bit more. We'll talk about that at the end. Thank you for bringing that up. But one of the things that God spoke to me about sharing with you guys today, I probably started having some symptoms with my health probably about 7 years ago or so. And I was going to the doctor, and no one could figure out what was wrong with me. And I was having these severe symptoms, and they just seemed to be getting worse. And the doctor just kept saying, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with you. It must just all be in your head. And I kept praying. I'm like, Lord, something, you know, something just was not right with my body. And I just believed that, you know, if I just kept seeking God, that there would be some type of breakthrough, that he would just reveal something to me. And, you know, when the doctor could not tell me what was wrong, it was God who spoke to me and actually led me. And through, you know, a lot of, and we'll talk about how to hear God's voice in different ways that God speaks to you in a moment. But God actually spoke to me and he showed me exactly what was wrong with my body, and I went to my doctor and I said, you know, could it be this? And the actual diagnosis was chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and I said, well, could this be it? And the doctor said, oh, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. But, of course, the doctor had no clue. It was the great physician who was able to tell me this is exactly what's going on in your body and this is what you need to do about it. And I say that because it's so important. You know, God has the ability to actually speak into our lives personally, directly to us. And there are going to be times in your life where your life, your very well-being is going to depend upon your ability to hear the voice of God. And, you know, I don't want anyone to be scared by that and feel like, oh, no, what if something bad happens and I can't hear God's voice? Because we don't want to be fear-based. We always want to be faith-based, and we always want to assume that something good is going to happen instead of assuming that something bad is going to happen. You know, Satan wants us to walk around with fear, and that's why, you know, we're just bombarded everywhere we go with fear. You know, you turn on the television and you flip past, and even if you're not trying to watch the news, they have all of these, you know, interrupting this to tell you that you should be afraid. You should be afraid. I mean, that's pretty much all that they say, no matter what they're interrupting the show to tell you. It's always something about why you should be afraid. But God doesn't want you to have to walk in that fear. And part of not having to walk in fear and being able to walk in faith is being able to hear God's word. So let's go ahead and just begin with some of our questions. Question number one, let's be real. Is it realistic to think that I will really be able to hear God's voice speaking to me personally? You know, this is such a good question. And I think the reason that this is such, that I really like this question is because a lot of times, this world makes us feel so small. And so we have this little old me mentality. You know, I talk about this. So, you know, if you're in the School of the Spirit, you have to excuse me because you guys know I talk about this all the time. But a lot of times we just get this little old me mentality and we feel like we're so small and we're so unimportant. And so we'll feel like, you know, why would God want to speak to me? Why would he want to take time out? You know, he's probably somewhere, you know, curing world hunger or something. Why would he want to come and speak with little old me? And, you know, that's exactly the way Satan wants us to feel. He wants us to feel as if God doesn't think we're important enough to speak to us. He wants us to feel small because as long as we feel small, we're never going to attempt anything great. We're never going to attempt anything big if we feel small in the eyes of God. You know, I want you to know today, you are not small in the eyes of God. You know, John 10:27 says, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. The sheep that are my own. You know, are you one of God's sheep today? Maybe you're not, but by the time we finish this class, I want you to have the opportunity to become one of God's sheep and to decide that you are going to hear and to listen to his voice. You know, God, that is a promise. You know, we have to start looking at God's word as a book of promises and taking him at his word and just believing his word more than we believe our own circumstances. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I've said this before, when people tell me that they can't hear the voice of God, I tell them that I don't agree. It doesn't matter whether you think you can hear the voice of God or not, because his word says you can. So we have to remember that his word takes precedent over our circumstances. His word takes precedent over what we think is reality. And so we can be deceived into thinking that we can't hear the voice of God and filled with doubt so that every time we do hear the voice of God, we think that it's all in our heads. Yes, that happens very often and with a lot of people. They think that they can't hear the voice of God because whenever God speaks to them, they brush it off. And since they brush it off, since he's not yelling at them, but speaking to them in a soft, still voice, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but they assume that they're not hearing God's voice. But if we say that we're not hearing God's voice, then essentially we're calling him a liar, because he said that the sheep that are his own hear his voice, and they listen to it. He said, and I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing to be known by God? You know, that's what we want, you know, to know him and to be known by him. That exemplifies relationship relationship. That's what we want with God. We want a relationship. You know, I want to take a look at another scripture as well. We were just talking about John 10 and 27. If you wanted to write down that scripture, that's John 10 and 27. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. That was out of the Amplified Version. But I want to take a look at another scripture, and that's Romans 12 and 2. And a lot of times people read this scripture, you know, don't be conformed to this world, but I want to read it from a different perspective. So we're reading Romans 12 and 2 in the Amplified Version. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Wow. You know, a lot of times we read that scripture, but we never really think about it in terms of being able to hear God's voice and being able to know his will for our lives. But in this scripture, we are promised, and again, that's Romans 12 and 2, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. In that scripture, we are promised that if we allow our mind to be renewed, well, how do we renew our mind? We renew our mind by delving into the Word of God, by going deeper and deeper into the Word of God. That's how we renew our minds. And so we're promised that if we will take the time to renew our minds and to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to renew our minds through God's Word, to begin to transform us and change us, then we'll be able to prove for ourselves. We won't have to have someone else tell us. Does everyone? I want to make that clear, because I think, you know, this is something else that God spoke to me about before when we And you guys have heard this in the Hearing God's Voice class in the School of the Spirit, for those of you who are students of the school. One of the things that God's spoken to me about before is that far too many of his children are depending on other people to be the voice of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Far too many of God's children are dependent upon other people to be the voice of God, to be the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to them in their lives, because they don't have confidence in their own relationship with God to be able to hear from him for themselves. But God says when you transform, when you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to prove, to know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. That is a promise. You know, we have to stop looking at God's word as this, as you know, things that are good in theory, right? You know, that works for someone else. You know, oh, that works for Sister Amira. That's good that she's gotten it to work for her. No, God's word is ultimate truth. You know, that's one of the things that the world, one of the parts of the world that's kind of seeped into the church is this idea of relative truth. You know, some things are, you know, it can be true for you, but it may not be true for me. No, truth is truth. There is no such thing as relative truth. Whatever it says in God's word, you can take it to the bank. That's it, period. And that's the way we have to start looking at the things that God promises to us. That we, you know, if God says that when I go into his word and I allow his word to open me up so that his Holy Spirit can transform me and renew my mind, if he promises that when I do that, I'll be able to know his will for my life, then I just have to believe that that's true. And so the reason that a lot of people aren't able to recognize God's voice is not that he's not speaking to them, because God's speaking to you whether you recognize his voice or not. But the reason that a lot of us are not able to recognize God's voice is, number one, we haven't taken the time to renew our minds through his word. We don't have that relationship with him through his word. And we want a easy relationship with God. We want an easy relationship with God. We become passive Christians, and we don't take the time to really seek him the way that we need to. That's one of the reasons that a lot of people feel like they aren't able to recognize God's voice. But another one of the reasons that people aren't able to recognize God's voice is because they they've crowded him out, and they aren't able to hear him speaking through their crowded lives. And we're going to talk about that at another time. I'm not going to go into too many details about that. But that's another important reason why a lot of people can't hear God's voice, is because their lives are just too loud. They're just too busy. And so when God speaks to them, it's just kind of drowned out by everything else that's going on. You know, God promises us, "I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." You know, that is a beautiful promise. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. For one, it just reminds us that God is watching over us. But he also promises to be our counselor. How many of us could use a counselor today? Hallelujah. You know, with all of the things going on, you know, those of us that are in America, our economy is in flux right now. It's just kind of going in circles, and no one really knows where it's going to land or how it's going to all work out. But, you know, if you're following, and you're following the voice of the Holy Spirit, he'll be able to guide you into victory. He'll be able to guide you into how to handle your finances and how to be a good steward of your finances. You know, we need God's direction in our lives. And God's Holy Spirit has been sent specifically to guide us, to be our counselor, to be our helper. But if you can't hear him, you're not able to follow his lead. And so it's so important that we learn how to hear the voice of God. And that takes us to question number two, the art of listening. How do I fine-tune my spiritual ears to hear the voice of God? Now, this is such an important question because, you know, one example that I came up with, and I won't take credit for it, I'm sure. I know it was God that came up with it and not me, but one of the examples that really made so much sense to me was, you know, if you go, say that I want to learn French, and they say that the best way to learn any language is immersion. It's just to go into that culture and to be immersed in that culture. And so if I went, if I just uprooted myself and I said, I'm going to go to France and I'm going to learn French, you know, if I went, when I went over there and I arrived there, most of the things that people were saying, I wouldn't be able to understand it. But, you know, if I stayed there long enough and I listened to that culture and that language long enough, then I will be able to pick out some of the things that are being said. And, you know, understanding God's voice is the same way. One of the best ways to learn how to understand God's voice is to bask in his presence, to really bask in his presence, to spend time just soaking in the presence of the Lord. You know, that's really the way that I personally learned how to begin hearing God's voice. And, you know, at the beginning, I'd hear different things, and I'd think, oh, is that just in my head? You know, we're going to talk about that in our next question, but, you know, is that just in my head? Is that just me making that up? How do I know that it's really God's voice speaking to me and it's not just all me? You know, I would just have so much doubt. Really, that's what it is that my mind was filled with doubt. But the more that I basked in his presence, the more time that I took out, just me and God. You know, I remember when I first came to know the Lord, you know, this is something that I really need to start doing more of even now. But I remember, you know, when I first came to know the Lord, about 10 years ago, I would just go on these excursions. I would call them excursions with the Lord, and it would just be me and the Holy Spirit all day. And that was one of the ways that I practiced hearing the voice of God. And, you know, you might hear this and think that it's silly, but it's really one of the ways that I practiced hearing the voice of God. Like, you know, I'd go and I'd get on the city bus and I'd go down, you know, somewhere, and I'd just walk around all day just talking to the Holy Spirit and just spending time with him. And, you know, I wouldn't take a bus schedule or anything. I'd just really try to, you know, listen to God for when he would tell me, okay, the bus is going to come. And I just believed that he would tell me. And I knew that the reason I was doing this is because I thought that it would build my faith and my ability to hear God's voice. And it really did. And it would just build my faith up because I would say, wow, God told me to go out to the bus stop right then, and the bus was there. And I would just, you know, make a note of that, write it down. And even now I do that. You know, if God tells me to do something and I do it, and I see, you know, the manifestation of something good happening because I stepped on what God told me to do, then I'll just make a note of that in my prayer journal. Because sometimes you need that boost. You need to be able to go back and read that when God told you to do something, he was right and you really were able to hear his voice. And it encourages you during those times when you have to make those tough decisions and you really need to hear God's voice. You know, it's better to practice on something silly like what time does the bus come than, you know, how am I going to handle my finances or, you know, I need to do something about my health or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the problems that are going on in their lives, whether it be financial or health-wise or with their children or with their families, is because they haven't learned how to hear God's voice and how to act upon the things that he's telling them to do on a daily basis. You know, that's something that God's been really speaking to me about because he gave me a list of things a while back to do for my health. And I had kind of stopped doing a lot of them because I started feeling better. And I was like, you know, I really don't need to do these things anymore. And all of a sudden, as soon as I stopped doing the things that he had given me to do, I started watching and realizing that I wasn't feeling as well as I used to. And so God was able to, you know, was able to speak to me through the Holy Spirit and guide me for my personal life. You know, there is no substitute for God's Holy Spirit being able to speak into your life personally. You know, one scripture that really talks about this, and I really think that it's so key, and we talked about this in the School of the Spirit in our lesson, there's just no counterfeit for the Holy Spirit, and it's John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. And so that's a promise to us that the Holy Spirit is actually here to speak to us and to guide us in our everyday lives. You know, part of the reason that a lot of people, you know, I call this the art of listening. How do I fine-tune my spiritual ears to hear the voice of God? And this is a question that comes up a lot of times. But one of the reasons that people don't hear the voice of God, it's an issue that they have in their daily life as well, you know, with other human beings, is that they're just not good listeners. You know, people want to talk and they want to say what they have to say, but they don't want to stop to listen to what anyone else has to say. And, you know, the same thing is true in our relationship with God and us, when we're having conversations with the Lord. You know, when we pray, all prayer is a two-way conversation. It's just us talking to the Lord and then us stopping to listen to what he has to say to us. That's what prayer really is. It's just that two-way conversation, And so one of the reasons that a lot of people don't hear God's word, don't hear God speaking to them, is that when they pray, they just tell God what's on their mind and they go on about their day. You know, they wake up every day and they say a quick prayer and then they go on about their day. They don't take that time out. They don't take that quiet time. They don't sit there and listen so that they can hear God's voice. And, you know, a lot of people, they just want to be able to hear God's voice throughout their day and not take that time out. But really it takes, in the beginning, you really have to take that time out because that's how you learn how to hear his voice. You know, once you've learned it, it really is an art. And once you've learned how to really recognize God's voice through that quiet time and through really just sitting in his presence and listening to him, once you learn how to do that, then it's going to be a lot easier for you to hear him speaking to you. Maybe while you're walking throughout your day, maybe while you're at the grocery store or wherever you are, where you're at work and things like that. But it takes those quiet times in the beginning of you just sitting in his presence. And that's really one of the main ways to hear God's voice. You know, God promises us in Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plan your path. You know, God will direct us if we'll acknowledge him, if we'll constantly take the time to acknowledge him. And, you know, really, I think that that's something that in our busy world, in our busy lives, we can just forget to do. We can just forget to take the time to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I invite you in. Will you just come and sit with me and talk to me because I want to know you more? But one of the biggest hindrances to recognizing the voice of God is doubt. It's that doubt that creeps in that says that's not the voice of God. God wouldn't want to speak to you anyways. Right, the voice of the enemy. And, you know, we've talked a lot about controlling your thoughts, especially in the school. We've talked a whole lot about controlling your thoughts. And that's one of the reasons that controlling your thoughts is one of the first things that you really have to learn how to do as a Christian, because it really overflows into every area of your life. Because if you don't have your thoughts under control and you don't learn to recognize the voice of the enemy just kind of just throwing out those little bitty lies, then when that thought comes that says, why would God want to speak to you? Instead of saying, you know what, I rebuke that thought, God says that if I recognize and acknowledge him, he will direct me. Right? Because when we rebuke something, we're speaking out against it. And then we're replacing that thought with the word of God, with what God's promise says. We're replacing the thought, the lie, with the promise. And that's all that rebuking something is speaking out against it and then replacing the lie that has tried to jump in and come into our minds. We're going to replace that lie with God's truth and God's promise. And so we have to learn that when we're thinking those thoughts about how we couldn't ever learn how to hear God's voice and why would God speak to us and what if it's not God speaking to me, those are all thoughts of doubt. Those are all thoughts of doubt. There's no faith anywhere in any of those thoughts. And so we have to learn how to redirect our thoughts to be based on God's word instead of being based on the lies that Satan's trying to speak into our lives. You know, many times we miss out on hearing God's voice because we don't know how he speaks. And so we're going to just talk about a few of the ways that God speaks to us. And I'm not going to go through all of the ways that he speaks to us because we'd be here for a few months, but we only have about 25 more minutes or so. So we won't go into all of that. But one of the ways, and we've already talked about this, one of the ways that God speaks to us is through his word. And many Christians, you know, talk about, I wish God would speak to me. You know, I have this problem and God just won't speak to me. And, you know, I always think it's amazing because a lot of times some of the problems that people have, God's already given the provision for that problem in his word. He's already spelled out what to do in his word. But many times, you know, as I've talked about before, we've become passive Christians. We want an easy answer. We just want to be told what to do instead of going through God's word, instead of doing our own due diligence and going through God's word and finding out what he has to say. And, you know, we have to know God's word anyways in order to hear his voice, because we want to make sure that when we're hearing him that it's not just our emotions. And so one of the ways that we're able to know that it's God speaking to us is because we're able to hold up what's being said to his word. And when what's being said matches up with his word, then it helps us to confirm that that really is the voice of God and not just our own emotions or our own reasoning. And so one of the main things that we have to remember is that one of the ways that God speaks to us, he still speaks to us through his word. You know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it as many times as you'll sit here and listen to me say it. God's word is not a rule book. And we have to question ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, am I looking at the Bible as a rule book or a love letter? Is it a letter, a love letter full of promises and provision and direction for my life? Or is it a rule book sent here to confine me and force me to conform? And a lot of us in the back of our minds, if we're totally honest with ourselves, still think of the Bible as a rule book. We don't sit down and read it, because who wants to sit down and read a dictionary? Who wants to sit down and read the Constitution? Who wants to sit down and read a rule book? You know, something that seems that boring as a rule book. But when you change your perspective, see, Satan wants us to keep looking at it as a rule book. He wants us to be bound up in religion and not be free to have the relationship with God that he has designed each of us to experience. He wants us to be bound by that spirit of religion and that feeling of, you know, oh, this is, you know, this is my Bible, my rule book, and so it just has all the things in it that I have to do. That's not what it is. You know, a lot of times we think about it like that because we assume that everything that God instructs us to do is for his benefit, when in reality, everything that God instructs us to do is for our benefit because he created us. And he knows what things are going to make us happy and what things are going to bring us pain. And so his guidance in the Bible is to direct us away from the things that are going to hurt us because he loves us. But, you know, Satan has twisted our idea of what the Bible is really for. And so many of us just feel almost like an allergic reaction, you know, in our spirits, whenever we try to go and read the Bible, it's like, oh, okay, now I know I have to read the Bible. And we do it almost out of obligation. And since we're not doing it with an attitude of learning and growing in the Lord, but with an attitude of, okay, now I need to check this off my checklist because if I read my Bible, it means I'm a good Christian. You know, we have this checklist mentality. And when you have checklist mentality, God's not going to speak to you through his word as much as he is when you go there seeking him. Lord, I want more of you. Lord, help me to know you better. Lord, help me to connect with you through your promises that you have made to me. Make your word afresh and anew to me, Lord. Make it come alive. In the name of Jesus, you know, when you go and you sit before your Bible with that prayer, God will make, you know, his word is alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His word is alive. You know, sometimes you just have to take a praise break and just say, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy because his word is alive and it will speak to you right where you are. You know, there have been so many occasions where I've just opened the word and God has been able to just speak right into my situation, whatever that situation was, through something that he said 2,000 years ago. I mean, that's just how awesome he is. You know, what are some other ways that God speaks to us? One of the other ways that he does speak to us is through other Christians. And, you know I talked about that earlier, that we don't want to depend upon other people to be the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But just because we don't want to depend upon that, that doesn't mean that it's not sometimes so. Okay, and I hope everybody understands what I mean by that. God can use other people to speak into our lives, but we can't depend upon that as being our only way of hearing from him. Okay, so God can speak to us through other believers, but that doesn't mean, and I want you guys to listen to this, that doesn't mean that every single thing that another Christian says to you is a word from God. And, you know, you see a lot of people who get into this, they just kind of get caught up, and they assume that everything that someone speaks to them is their word from the Lord. Oh, you just gave me a good word from the Lord. Oh, that must be a word from the Lord for me. You know, God confirms his word by repetition. And so if you've only heard a message or ever, you've only heard something one time, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a special word from God to you. But, you know, if you're receiving the same thing, the same message over and over again from various, you know, various people or in different ways, then there's a good chance that God's voice is speaking to you through some of his chosen vessels, because God will use his people to speak to you, especially if you're, you know, especially if he's trying to speak directly to you and you're not listening. And I've had that happen to me on several occasions. You guys know I'm real, right? I'll tell you that I am not perfect. God is still working on me, and I praise him for the work that he's doing in me. And, you know, many times if he's trying to speak to me and I'm just so caught up in doing things for him that I'm not taking the time out to spend time with him, you know, during those times of my life, many times he'll send his word through someone else. And then, you know, I'll have one person tell me something, you know, the word I had been getting recently and probably for like the last 3 or 4 months has been, you need to rest, you need to rest. And every, you know, so often, maybe once a week, it got to the point, or even sometimes several times a week, people would just come, you know, I feel like God's telling me that you need to rest. And I'm thinking, okay, I really need to listen to this, because I've had, I don't know how many people tell me that God's been telling them I need to rest. You know, do I look tired? Do I sound tired? But, you know, because God was telling me, and he had been telling me that I needed to rest, and I kept saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to rest. Just give me a second, and I'm going to get to it. And so since I wouldn't listen to him, he started sending other people to tell me that I needed to rest. And many times God will do that. He'll use other people to speak to you. And one of the ways to know that that's definitely a word from God for you is that you'll see repetition. You'll see repetition. You'll feel like, man, everywhere I go, I keep hearing that. You know, I heard so-and-so say it, and I heard this person say it, then I opened up my Bible, and it was there, and that's God speaking to you. You know, he's bringing that thing back to you over and over and over again. But whenever you're dealing with a word from God, from someone else, you always want to pray and ask God to confirm that word again so that you can be sure that you're on the right path. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying and saying, Lord, can you please confirm that? Because I want to make sure that I'm in your will. I want to make sure that I'm pleasing you. I want to make sure that I'm doing the things that you've called me to do. And so can you please confirm that word for me? Because I want to please you. And, you know, when you're asking it, not out of fear, but out of just a true desire to walk with God and have his perfect will be done in your life, he'll send that confirmation. But you have to be praying in faith and not praying these fear-based prayers. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, maybe it's just all in my own mind. I mean, if it's really you, can you send somebody else? Because I don't want to make a mistake. You know what? That's a fear-based prayer. And how can you expect God to respond to your fear? God responds to faith, not fear. And so we need to get out of this fear. You know, our next class that we'll be starting next week, actually in the School of the Spirit, we're starting a class next week on learning how to believe God and walk in faith and getting away from this fear-based mentality. Because so many of us, every single thing we have is just rooted in fear. And just learning how to believe God at his word and just faith our fears to death. And that's going to be the next thing that we're going to be talking about. That is, for those of you who are in the school, that is the one that won out. That's the poll that won out, was the class on faith versus fear. So we'll be starting that sometime next week. One of the other ways that we hear the voice of God is through his still small voice. And, you know, we read about that in 1 Kings 19 when Elijah is talking about, you know, hearing the voice of God. And he said, a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, and it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. You know, that's the way that God speaks to us many times, is just through a gentle whisper. And that's why a lot of times we can't hear him, because we, you know, our lives are so loud that if he wanted to speak to us, he would have to yell over top of all the things going on. You know, I gave an example in one of our classes in the school. It's almost as if we're walking around with headphones on and just blaring music playing. And, you know, God's standing beside us, walking next to us, but we can't hear him speaking because we have these headphones on and it's just blaring, you know, all of the things that you need to do today, all of the things that, you know, all of, you know, thoughts that other people have said to you, you know, things that people have been saying to you ever since you grew up. I mean, we have all of these thoughts playing, you know, you're not good enough, that's playing in the background. You're not worthy enough. You're never going to be anything. That's playing in the background. Who would want you? That's playing in the background. And so we have all of these voices and all of these things playing in the background, just yelling all of the responsibilities that we have. You know, you need to do this and you need to do that and you have to take care of the kids and you need to make dinner and you need to, you know, you have this board meeting next week and you know, you have this project that's due tomorrow and whatever it is, just blaring. and yet God's just sitting there speaking. Well, you know, one of the easiest ways to do that project, if you could just do this and do that. You know, that's one of the things. I remember my husband had a huge project at work a few weeks back, and actually it was probably like a month or so he was working on it, and he was like, you know, struggling with the project and just really working hard. He was working as hard as he physically could, but it was just a very large project. And, you know, I prayed, you know, that God would give him, that God would help him and just really be his partner and just help him with this project. And he came home that day and he said, you know what, God gave me a different way to do the project. And now that we're doing it the other way, it's so much faster and we're actually going to be able to get done on time. Why? You know, a lot of times we don't think God's interested in the details of our lives. We don't think that he's interested in the different things that we're going through on a daily basis. And that's just part of our insecurities, part of our, you know, our ideas and the lies that we've been believing about God's not really wanting a relationship with us. And yet his heart's desire is to walk with you in the cool of the day, to walk with you through your everyday life. That's his desire for you. That's his desire for his relationship with you, to walk with you every single day. And, you know, I think that's so key. I think it's so important that we understand that God's desire is to have an intimate relationship with you. Because, you know, if you don't really believe in the depths of your heart that that's his desire, you're not going to be able to recognize him speaking to you. Because all of the lies that you've been told your whole life will be blaring so loud that you won't be able to hear him speaking into your life. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done. God still loves you. He still wants to know you, and he still wants you to know him. And that's just so important. You know, that's one of the things I really believe that God has called me to, is just to tell people that he loves them and that he wants to have a relationship with them and to help people and guide them into that deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Because that's what he has in store for you. You know, I'm going to go ahead and start on our question number 3, because we're starting to run low on time, so I don't want to keep you guys over. I know a lot of people have different things they have to get to, so I try to always end on time. Question number 3, is it real? How do I know that it is God speaking to me and not just all in my head? You know, that's something that a lot of us struggle with. And one of the things, as I said before, it's all that doubt. You know, a lot of us just have so much doubt running around our minds. And, you know, the main thing that's stopping most Christians from hearing the voice of God is doubt. They doubt that they're really hearing God's voice until they ignore it. And, you know, I can give you proof right now that we can all hear God's voice. How many times have you had those moments in your life where you think, oh, you know, I felt like I was supposed to stop there and I didn't stop. I felt like I was supposed to, you know, to do X, whatever it was, and I didn't do it. I should have. People will say, I should have followed my instincts. Well, what do you mean your instincts? You know, what does that come from? Well, that comes from the, you know, the Darwinism and different things that you know, different pagan beliefs. Those instincts, like we all just have this instinct of knowing what we should do. Right? That's not what we as Christians believe, but that has just kind of seeped into our thought process. You know, I should have followed my instincts. Your instincts don't tell you what to do. The reason that they say you should follow the first thought that comes into your mind is because a lot of times that first thought isn't yours. That's why that's the thought that usually works out. Because many times that first thought is God's Spirit speaking to us. And then we say, oh, I felt like I was supposed to do that, but I didn't. Why? Because we assumed that that thought that we had was meaningless, and so we dismiss it. And that's really the main reason that people have a hard time recognizing the voice of God, is because they doubt that it's really him talking to them. You know, stepping out and following the still small voice of the Lord can be so frightening because no one wants to make a mistake, right? Especially if there's something big that's at stake. You don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to mess it up. But, you know, what does it come down to? It comes down to faith. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Having faith is never easy. But, you know, the one thing that I always like to tell people when it comes down to hearing God's voice, if you don't have faith in yourself and your ability to hear God, at least have faith in Him and His ability and His desire to protect you. You know, what does that come back to? That comes back to us truly believing that God loves us. You know, the Bible tells us that God is love. He is love. It's His very nature. You know, when it says he is love, He is agape. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. It is His very nature to love you in spite of your mistakes. It is His very nature. It's just a part of who He is to love you in spite of your mistakes. And so what does that mean? That means that even if you make a mistake, if you make that mistake because you're trying to follow Him, He's not going to leave you hanging. You know, one of the scriptures that helped me with this, and I mentioned this a couple times before whenever I've talked about hearing God's voice, but one of the things that the scriptures that really set me free in this area to really just step out and follow whenever I truly believe that God's speaking to me, one of the scriptures that really set me free was Hebrews 13:5-6. Hebrews 13:5-6. He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. We take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. You know, God says, I won't leave you helpless. I'm not going to release my hold on you, but I want to continue to hold on to you. I'm going to continue to help you. You know, that's God's promise to us. And that's something that we can stand on. When we're sitting there and we're doubting, should I step out? Now, just because you're happy about something, I want to clarify something. Just because you're happy about something does not mean that it's God's will for your life. Just because you're happy about something and you're excited and your emotions are taking over doesn't mean that it's God's will for your life. So we have to really learn how to take our emotions out of it and really press in and hear God's voice. And, you know, sometimes that means that you have to maybe go on a short fast just so you can, you know, focus on God. Maybe it means you have, especially if it's a large decision, maybe you need to take some time and just go into a short fast or, you know, take some time and get by yourself and just pray and really seek God and ask Him to confirm His word. Because sometimes it is just our emotions. But, you know, a lot of times we'll feel like God is telling us to do something, and most of the time what He's telling us to do is not at all related to what we want to do anyways. So sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes it's very obvious that it's not our emotions because we would rather not do what He's telling us to do. But, you know, sometimes our emotions can get in the way. But if you ask God to make it plain to you and to make it clear to you because your desire is to please Him and not to please yourself, but to please Him first, you know, you just have to believe that He'll come through for you, that He will speak to you. Let's see here. We have 5 minutes left. I just want to make sure that I covered everything that I wanted to talk about. Oh, one of the last things that I wanted to say, you know, if you're doing something because you're trying to follow God, whatever mistake that you make, it will never be too big for Him to fix. you know, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about in our new course on faith in the School of the Spirit. You know, Satan wants us to be crippled with fear. He wants fear to be so big in our lives that it just really stops us in our tracks. And we're not able to do the things that God has called us to do because of all this fear. You know, we're just so afraid that we're going to make a mistake. And why do we get gripped by this fear? Because we feel like we have to do everything on our own. We feel like if we don't do it, then things are going to fall apart. We feel like if we're not perfect, then everything is going to fall apart. But if you feel like that, I have good news for you today. God doesn't need you to be perfect. He's big enough and strong enough to help you. He's big enough and strong enough to fill in the gaps that you leave. If if you make a mistake because you're trying to follow him, it's that faith that activates him. It's that faith and that desire to please him that makes him go to work on your behalf. So that's really where I want to leave you today. Let's see. Oh, we have lots of questions. Oh, my goodness. Okay, one of the first things that I want to do, let me answer this question really quickly. We may go a few minutes over. I'm going to try not to go over. But someone asked, I want to know why you chose the name Reaching for the Hem. This is actually really important, and so I did want to take a second and answer this question. The reason that called Reaching for the Hem is because it's based on our website, hemofhisgarmentbiblestudy.org. And the reason that God gave me that scripture is because, you know, if you remember the scripture talks about the woman with the issue of blood. And the woman with the issue of blood, let me see, what scripture is that? Mark 5. It's in Mark 5 towards the end, around Mark 5:28. The woman believed in her heart that if she could connect with God, she had been sick for years, and she believed in her heart that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that I will be made whole. That's what she believed in her heart. If I could just touch God, if I could just reach out and connect with him, that I will be made whole. And, you know, I just believe that there's so many of God's children right now that are broken. You know, all we want is just some wholeness. You know, I know a lot of you are listening to this, and you can relate to that, right? All you want is just some wholeness, just some peace, just some joy. Hallelujah. And the only way we are going to be made whole is if we're able to reach out and connect with the Lord, if we can just connect with him. You know, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And then Jesus turned to her, and he said, it is your faith that has made you whole. It was her faith that made her whole. Because, you know, her faith has to be acted upon. You know, faith is an action word. If she would have just sat there within herself and said, if I reach out to God, I'll be made whole. But she never actually reached out. She would have never been made whole because it was her acting upon that belief. You know, when we act upon a belief, that's when it becomes faith. Because I'm stepping out. You know, what does the Bible say? Faith without works is dead. If I'm just sitting here believing it in my mind, but I don't reach out and connect with God, I don't actually, you know, oh, I know if I study God's word that God will be able to change me, but I know it in my head, but my Bible's sitting over there on the shelf, right? That's not faith. Why? Because I'm not acting out what God's given me to do, what I believe in my heart. I'm not acting upon it. Let's see. Janet asked, how do we know it's not our own thoughts when we think it's God? And we talked a little bit about that. Actually, I don't want to, since we're running out of time really quickly, I don't want to go into too much more detail about that, but in the School of the Spirit, we do have a class that we're teaching right now on how to hear God's voice, and I'll probably be putting out Lesson 3 to that class just for those of you who are already in the school, or for those of you who are thinking about joining the school, I'll probably be putting out Lesson 3 to that class sometime very soon. So if you are interested, if that's something that God's really put on your heart and you really feel like you need to learn how to hear his voice for yourself, that class is really changing a lot of people, and people are really being blessed by it. And God's blessing me by it because I'm learning as we go through it. Someone asked, when we apply for the course, do we get a student ID card? No, you don't get an actual student ID card when you apply for the School of the Spirit. It's just kind of a little thing that I made up. But it would be nice. Maybe one day I'll be able to create an actual student ID card. Before we close, we'll probably be out. Just give me like 4 more minutes. I'm sorry. I did want to stop before we close up and just remind everyone, if you do feel like God is really calling you to go deeper in him, the School of the Spirit is currently taking new students, and people are really being blessed by the school. You know, I don't just say this because it's me in there. You know, there's actually a guest teacher that will be joining us in a few weeks, and she's doing an awesome course on how to be restored from depression and different mental strongholds that Satan tries to put on us, and she's going to be doing a powerful course on that. And so I'm really excited about that. And, you know, when you become a student at the school, you are able to take all of the classes. All of the classes are included in that, so you don't have to pay for each class, because I didn't want people to have to do that. I wanted people to be able to just come in and take as many classes as they want and go at their own pace and just really allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. And so if you do feel like God is kind of calling you to that, of course, there is a link, a button on your screen that says Become a Student of God, and you can click on that button. It'll take you to the registration page for the School of the Spirit, or also you can just go to schoolofthespirit.org, and, of course, that's always hyphenated, schoolofthespirit.org, and it'll tell you a little bit more about the school, and you'll be able to actually do a test drive of the school for just $1 just to see if you like it. And I'm still doing the special for, if you do join the school, you will get a Becoming God's Masterpiece Bible Study Program for free, which is typically $13. So if for all of you who have been not sure if you wanted to do the Becoming God's Masterpiece Bible Study Program, you get it for $1 instead of the $13. So just I did that in case anyone, you know, did the $1 and then they realized they weren't going to be able to stay in the school. They'll still have something that they can take with them and God be able to use. But I wanted to close. Someone had asked the question of, you know, they wanted to give their life over to God, and how do they do that? And so that's really what I wanted to end on. It's a very simple prayer. You know, God doesn't make everything complicated. It doesn't have to be verbose. But it's really just a prayer that you say, you know, by yourself, that you just say aloud to God. And it what the prayer states is that you recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he went to the cross for you so that you could be reunited with God. And you recognize that you have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And so you receive your salvation through Jesus Christ. And you believe that he was the Son of Man, or the Son of God, that he went to the cross and that he rose again. And that when he rose again, he brought with him your victory over sin and your victory over death. And you just invite the Holy Spirit into your heart to live with you and to be with you. And you know, a lot of times people will say the prayer and have people repeat it with them, but I just think that sometimes it's so much more powerful when you can just say it in your own words and just talk to God. That's all you're doing. It's just talking to him and telling him that you love him and that you believe upon Jesus and what he did for you. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and close this class. And so if you'll just approach the throne of the Lord with me, Lord, we love you. And we glorify you and we praise you because you're worthy. We thank you for your desire to even be with us, because, Lord, we know that in and of ourselves, by ourselves, without Jesus, we are not worthy to be in your presence. But it is through Jesus that we have been washed clean. Lord, help us to see ourselves the way that you see us. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves the way you see us, washed clean. Hallelujah. We love you. We invite you into our lives. We ask for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, that you will open our ears if they have been plugged, and that you will speak to us in a fresh new way, that you will continue to guide us through our daily lives, that we may bring you glory, that you may be glorified, Lord, not us, but that your will may ultimately be done. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Also, just really quickly, this kind of goes along with something I had said earlier. God has been really on me to rest, and so what we're going to be doing, instead of doing our Reaching for the Hymn teleclasses every other week, we're going to be doing them once a month. And I hope people aren't disappointed. I'm sorry. It's just that it was becoming, you know, more and more evident to me, because God keeps sending people to tell me that I need to sit down and rest, that I really do need to just get some things back in balance, because I do run the Hymn Bible Studies and the School of the Spirit by myself. I have some awesome volunteers that do help do different things, but majority of the work does fall on me. And so just trying to make sure that I stay in balance, and that I'm also able to minister to my husband and be a blessing to him, and all those different things that we all do in our lives. And so we'll actually be having our classes once a month, so we won't have another class until November. And we'll be having our next class the second week of November, and it will be on November 13th, which is a Thursday. So go ahead and make a note of that. And, of course, I'll send out reminders as we get closer to the class. So I pray that this has been a blessing to you, and that God will use the things that we have learned here to help you and to draw you even closer to Him. God bless.